Okay. This is for devotees, really. I just made this Priyaratadas here. I just made this. Well, it was kind of funny. So I'm not cleaning my apartment, and I thought I'd just put this headset on and talk. So take it for what it is. But I want to talk to devotees here in this wild media world out there. And what? Because I just made a Radio Krishna program this morning as an experiment. It's called Vadini Dog or something like that. It's a working name. Looking out at the world, you know, what's going on right now. We used to do that, those kind of programs. I used to do that in the back in the early 90s when I was working on the local near radio here in Sweden, in Stockholm and other places. So I thought, why not do it again? And and then I just realized you can do it by recording the screen of your computer and put a microphone into it and then just talk and do things on the screen. And just since I have a good radio microphone that I can plug into my computer, the audio is radio quality. It's very simple to do, actually. So, I mean, in those days, in the old days, we used to also basically just sit down in front of the microphone and turn on the introduction, Govindan Adipurusham, that we always used, and then while that was running, we tried to come up with something to say when it was over, and sometimes we played the whole song there because we couldn't figure out what to say. I mean, that's the reality of our Radio Krishna, and you can hear it on radio-krishna.se soon, also radio-krishna.se, which we temporarily lost, but which is coming back. Anyway, so here I am, and I just made that recording just because it was something I saw, a little funny thing, but also something I could really talk about from a Krishna conscious perspective in some Swedish newspaper. And wham, just record and record, and I'm using a little free recording software called OBS, and it was very simple actually to do. I already had that. And then I thought, okay, I was taking it into my video editing program and I was cutting it. And I thought, while I do that work that I'm doing now, why not also record that work and show how I do it in case someone wants to do the same thing that I'm doing. And now I'm talking to you, more devotee specific, while I am supposed to clean my apartment and drink some tea. That I just made that instruction video plus that radio program and I kind of just express my amazement at how creative you can be these days. And I just want to some rather, how to say, share that realization of how much more and how much more powerfully today we can spread the Sankirtan movement using the media that are available today. And I mean, I just spoke with a friend the other day about that, another devotee who used to also be, Marapur used to be the old, also an old Radio Krishna personality, producer, that what would Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur say and do if they were here now, which they may be, you know. In a way, it might be quite possible that they are one of us or among us here, continuing their job. So it's a fascinating thought. And well, in those days, we know what they did. They emphasized books and journals. Why specifically books and journals? Because those were the mass media of the day. And Srila Prabhupada said clearly, I can put it on the screen somewhere, I don't remember exactly the quote, but he said we should use all media that are available at any point in time and place where we are to spread this Sankirtan message. And of course, I mean, that's, it's not that books made of paper are holy material or something. The only way, just because that's how the acharyas used to do it. This is a typical problem that can appear from generation and generation through the time, that one tries to imitate and copy, you know, the founder back then. And then you are sitting there trying to just look like people in the middle age of India or something. So, and Prabhupada and these acharyas, they also emphasize that yukta vairagya, we got to, and they showed it with their examples. I mean, look at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda. They were so progressive there in India. And we can, you know, I would turn to Pranava Prabhu or someone who knows much about them, can tell you. Anyway, so what would they do today? I am personally convinced, and I think that we were both when we spoke about it, that they would say, use this. It's the information superhighway, which is not even that word is now, I mean, not a highway anymore. These are countries and continents out there. Even I saw, there's all over now on YouTube, this interview with some, what was it, some ex-minister of Greece, who says that democracy is basically coming close to an end. That the world is now about to be ruled. It's like a new feudal system that is appearing, where instead of having lords and, you know, this, you know, the, how the feudal system worked, right? That people in an area, big or small, were ruled by a king or a lord or some kind of big wig who owned their land, basically, and then had them employed. Of course, then making them dependent on him or her. So, which then later on, of course, led to things like the French Revolution, all that, and the rise of capitalism. And it's interesting how to follow all these kind of developments, and then how capitalism turned into, rather than being freedom for the individual, it turned to the freedom to exploit other individuals. And of course, then people rose against that because that was not fair. And as soon as something is not fair, then some will protest and revolt against it. So revolution and communism and socialism and on and on. So then he says that now we are seeing that, and I think it's intelligent, that there are these huge corporations that are big at, not as countries, but as continents, basically. I mean, just you have Google, you have Facebook, you have few of those, right? They are have an enormous power over people's minds, because media is about that. Minds. You can affect people's minds. And some are not even aware of that. You have an entry right into the mind of minds of billions of people. And once you have that, and I read this in an old, back in the 80s, a handbook in propaganda written by the KGB. I don't know if it's leaked out somehow or other, and we had access to it. How you do mind control. And it started with getting past something called the, I don't remember the word actually, like a screen of critical, that you're critical and defensive against, you know, whatever, and you are evaluating all the input with your intelligence, whether you should accept it or not, whether you should listen to it or not, let it even let it enter your mind in any way. So you have to get through that. I think they call it absorption screen in that book. And once you're in there, then you do next step and next step. But then that's the thing. Once you're in there, you just need to know your art, and you can get that person to think basically whatever you want. And the thing is that most people think that they are not susceptible to falling for that. But, you know, we're talking about people who are much more intelligent and smart and learned into psychology than the average people. And that means to be able to do this. Propaganda means something done, and it's part of it so subtly that you don't even know it, that you're being subject to it. So that's going on out there. So this Greek minister, I don't know what he's doing, I retired or something, spoke about this, speaks about this very much now these days. And I think this is important to see what's going on in the world, and that these feudal lords that are now really just more and more controlling us. Not in the old ways with police force necessarily, but directly through using media. They can make us love a leader in one country and hate a leader in another country. No matter who that person is. And I mean, I have to say, I can talk to devotees like this, that when you look at it today, it's like, whatever you think about good and bad in those guys, they are all bad, basically. I mean, they have all this. I mean, I doubt you can be on top up there today without being a really compromising a lot of moral ethics and all, morality and ethics. I don't know what's going on up there, but or what motivations are to get up there. But if you look at it, and if you have seen this interview that Tucker Carlson did with Putin, for 2 hours, and Putin gets into half an hour talking about, the first thing he asked Tucker Carlson, you know Tucker Carlson from Fox News, this famous news journalist there who got fired because he got too outspoken or not fitting into the Fox News general idea anymore about reality or whatever, or what they want to show their audience, which is what's happening. You know, when you're a journalist, you can be very qualified, but once you say things that are not really on the agenda of the corporation you work for, they kick you out. So they did, and he started his own, and he's probably even more successful now. And he decided to go to Moscow and interview Putin. You know, I'm here, I'm an American patriot, because he is. He's Christian, you know, old-fashioned, good, I think, Republican. I'm not sure, but... And he said, but you know, we have a war going on, and people are interviewing Zelensky, or what his name is, and all kinds of leaders, but someone should go and interview Putin. But when you do, you're almost treated as if you're a traitor, a Putin friend or something. So I'm going to do it anyway. And he did. And I really can respect him for that. And I think he did it well. And Putin started off saying, is this a talk show or is it a serious talk? And Carlson laughed and said, it's a serious talk. So then Putin started, he spent half an hour. I mean, he's after all the top leader of a huge nation on this planet. I mean, he spent half an hour talking about the history of Russia and in relation then to the Ukraine back from 8th century or 9th. And in, as an encyclopedia, he was so exact with very much getting into details of how this happened and that happened and this and that ruler and king and that part of Russia and that Ukraine and even including other parts of Eastern Europe, how they were conquering this, taking that and giving that. And I thought it was interesting. Of course, Tucker Carlson probably didn't expect that. But then he also, I think, after being a little restless, he had his idea about what to talk about. But then someone wrote there, I read the comments there on Twitter about this, and he said, it's quite, it's quite ironical that here this person that we were expecting to be shouting and screaming like a mad tyrant dictator leader, he gave an encyclopedic account for half an hour about history back to the ninth century of his country, but our own president can't even remember what he did last week. Because he is known to be senile. Poor man. He shouldn't be there being tortured by being a president. Of course, he was the one who decided to go that way. So what can we say? But that's the weird situation of the world today. I don't know why I'm getting into all this. I'm just talking as long as I like, and you just stop listening when you don't want to. I didn't even know what to start talking about. But, and again, I should be cleaning, but I'm really doing all this talk while I'm walking back and forth and trying to do some cleaning. So I'm not in any way here doing any fine scripted talk, but just going, but I'm speaking all this because I think it's important, really. I don't want to be the one standing up there shouting at everyone, hey, we're gonna wake up. But I'm rather trying to say, and now I'm taking the opportunity, because if you are listening to this, you probably are so because you're supposed to, or you are a bit interested in this level of things, that you are probably a devotee, you're connected probably to ISKCON or so, or to some other Gaudiya Vaishnava branch, or some kind of Vaishnava branch, or even just a devotee of God in general. But if you are, and you know what the Sankirtan mission is, then I'm really talking to primarily old Sankirtan devotees. Hey, Prabhus, let's look at this, you know, what should we do about it? Let's get into it, come on. That's how I am seeing things. And or old BBTers, and you know, devotees who served that and still serve or want to serve that mission, which I really dedicated myself to back then, and whether it's been visible to others during the years or is now, and to whom it is, I'm still there. I gave my life 1984 to the Sankirtan Mission of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Gaur Nithai, and they took it. So for me it has been a long, of course, with a family and kids and all that in it, and full-time work and trying to balance everything. a work to learn about modern media. Because, you know, I'm a media guy, I realize that much. I wonder sometimes, who am I? But since I joined, I was out there selling books on the street. I was there translating books, few volumes of the Bhagavatam into Swedish. I was there with Radio Krishna, responsible for Radio Krishna in Stockholm for some years, and then in Gothenburg for some years. So, and then I got into web development, because I started looking into, back in, when was that? Well, when the web came, 93, 94 there, I started using it immediately, because we had been using other forms of online media, BBSs and all that, back before that, a few devotees here of us. So, and it goes on from there, and I realized, oops, so when something called ADSL is coming, it was like 96, 97, I read about that, and then we're going to have video also on internet, and wow, it was like, it dawned on me how the future is going to look like, how media is going to change, and I just sat there going, what? But of course, what I didn't really take into account then, or could not see then, was these two things. One, that the free internet, which internet actually is designed to be, first of all, military standard communication network that can't be, or very difficult so, to be destroyed. It was originally developed by the American military, as far as I remember, and Arpa it was called. So, and it's free, that's what it means. But then that you had these corporations that just, they didn't take control over the internet, they didn't buy the internet. Of course, they may be in control of certain parts of the hardware, but the internet is going all different directions, and it's, I think it's very difficult to for anyone to own the internet. I may be wrong, but maybe that's what they are trying to do. I don't know. Because this fight between, and again, we're talking super smart people here, power people, who then have money also to employ the smartest people of the world. Of course, the usual race, who's going to be take control over this whole thing. And they realize that taking control over it physically is probably not possible, not even needed, because what you need to do is to take control over the audience. They call it eyeball time. And someone said, if it's for free, then you are the product. So we became, you know, if you would compare it to a gold, the gold digging age of the old days, where the gold was the commodity that, of course, you were digging for, then today we are that commodity. Because where we go, the ones whose content we look at on our screens, they have our eyeball time, and therefore the potential customers or potential voters or whatever. In other words, they have that channel open into our minds, which is so valuable, of course, for whatever purposes, propaganda, political propaganda, sales, whatever. Money, power, you know, the ruling forces there that these big, or what they think they are, big ones up there, big wigs, are so hungry for getting more of. It's just the usual old thing, but on this level, you know, it's quite amazing what's going on there today. So I got into this whole thing there because I just speak whatever I want here, and I think it's important to understand this, and that whatever you are hearing out there or seeing on your screens may or may not represent reality. And we can do then two things, or you can say, okay, since I can't know if it's reality or illusion, I just stay away from it and I don't look at those screens. And I think that's a very wise thing to do. But I'm thinking more the other way. I don't look so much on the screens for other things that I do for this job. And I'm trying and hoping that my sons also stay, at least they stay a bit away from the worst social media thing. For them is YouTube and games, and as far as I know. So anyway, that's one thing. Culture among our own ourselves and our families, starting, you know, it all starts with ourselves. But then it's also about, because some, you know, they sit there and they say, oh, this modern media is so bad, it's, oh, but they sit still looking at it all the time in different ways, and you can, maybe that's even included in this way they make it that you don't even realize how much time you spend there in front of a screen of some sort. So that's worth checking yourself on. So, well, I think I make another recording now because this gets too long, but there was something I wanted to start with saying here. So I don't know, I'm tired of just being quiet, and because I thought I'd speak too much and people don't want to listen, but there are others who sit for hours and talk in Vyasa songs and whatever, and people sit there listening, and after all, I'm old anyway, so okay, Hare Krishna.